Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
We find a very interesting passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verses 4 through 18, and they have to do with being provoked by an adversary. Let's read the passage and then we'll go on with the study. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 4, when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore, and she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now, we know that the devil is our adversary. We know that from Revelation chapter 12. We know that from 1 Peter chapter 5. And as such, he opposes us in our relationship with the Lord. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see that he can use others to provoke us. In this case, he used Peninnah to provoke Hannah. So today we're going to look at what happens in our lives, in your life and my life, when we get provoked by the adversary or by somebody that he uses. You see, what happens is the adversary takes a bad situation, in this case Hannah was barren, and makes it worse by provoking you. In other words, he waits till you're in a point of weakness, and then he comes along or sends somebody to come along and to make it worse. Being provoked by the adversary will affect some things in your life. Being provoked by the adversary will affect, first of all, your spirit. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1 at verse 6 and 7. Her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. So the adversary is Peninnah, and the one being provoked is Hannah. Peninnah has children, sons and daughters. Hannah has none. And so it's one of those, you know, things where Penina makes fun of her and probably accuses her, says, you know, obviously if you'd been a better wife to my husband, or if you'd be, you know, had been in a better relationship with the Lord, anything like that to cause Hannah to begin to fret over the condition that she's in. And she did. She fretted. Now, to fret is to worry, all right, is to be annoyed and irritated. But to fret also, when you look up the definition, is to wear away, to wear down. So this worry has that wearing effect where it causes you to wear down under the weight of the annoyance and under the weight of the irritation. The Lord had shut up her womb. And notice when the provoking may have gone on year-round, but we see it in this passage when Hannah went up to the house of the Lord in verse 7. You know, it's like when you're trying to draw close to the Lord, or you're trying to do something that you know the Lord would find pleasing, that's when the provoking starts to throw you off, to cause you to worry and to upset your spirit, so that the spiritual benefit you get from being in the house of the Lord is lost by the provoking and by the fretting that goes on when you approach him. You know, like Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's what he said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. Notice also, since we're talking about her spirit being affected, look in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verses 15 and 16. Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman," watch it, "of a sorrowful spirit." I have a sorrowful spirit. She says in the 16th verse, "Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." So she had a sorrowful spirit. She was complaining and she was grieving. Now that's a terrible place to be in with the Lord. The spiritual drag in your life from being in a place like that is just, it's just annoying. It's annoying to you. It's annoying to the Lord. It absolutely strains your relationship with the Lord to the max. I mean, you're prone to be mad at him as a result of the condition that you're in. It has a spiritual effect to be provoked by the adversary. And it's like the devil. It's like the devil set this thing up and provokes Penina, to provoke Hannah. Oftentimes you're going to find that you're in a situation where somebody that, you know, that strains your relationship with the Lord happens to show up at precisely the time when you're trying to draw close to the Lord. Or maybe you're flying. Maybe you're going to be going somewhere with some people where there's going to be a spiritual occasion. And now things with the airlines get messed up, and things with people on the airplane are really annoying you and causing you to fret. You know, a lot of times that stuff is circumstantial, but sometimes I believe the devil's behind it. Certainly here I see the hand of the devil behind this thing affecting her spirit. Notice something else. Being provoked by the adversary will not only affect your spirit, but it will affect your emotions. Your emotions. In verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Bible says that Hannah wept. She wept when she was being provoked. You know, the adversary doesn't only want you to worry and wear away with your trouble, but he also wants to make you sad. He wants to depress you. And that type of emotion, you see, the Bible says, rejoice evermore. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, love, joy, see, all that stuff. And if by being provoked your emotions are stretched and strained and you begin to weep and become depressed and saddened, then what it does is it takes away the joy of the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, we find joy when we can rejoice. We find strength when we can rejoice. And that joy causes our countenance to be merry and our heart to be merry. Sadness and a broken spirit have a tendency to make the heart stoop and the man to stoop down. It brings him low, you see. And so that provoking has a real compound effect when not only does it affect your spirit, but it affects your emotions. Now, a lot of people, when they start getting depressed like that, They go to the doctor and get some sort of a pill to deal with the depression, when in fact maybe the problem is not physiological or just emotional, but it may actually be related to this provoking going on. So be careful in that time. All right, being provoked by the adversary, it'll affect your spirit, affect your emotions. Notice something else, it will affect your appetite. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7, Hannah didn't eat. The Bible says, and did not eat, in verse 7. Grief takes hold, and you can't eat. Now, in this case, she may have also wanted to fast, but it may very well be that she was just so distraught with the concern that she had about the provoking and about the fact that she didn't have any children, that she just didn't even feel like eating. And I'll tell you, that'll happen sometimes. Eating is good because it causes your body to be nourished, particularly when you eat nourishing things. And sometimes what happens is you get so weighed down in your spirit and so weighed down in your emotions with the trouble in your life that you don't feel like eating. And when you get to that place, you know what happens is you lose necessary nourishment. Your immune system begins to be compromised. Your health begins to be compromised. And then you have problems. It's a compounding effect, you see. Being provoked by the adversary will affect your spirit, your emotions, your appetite. And I'll show you something else. It will affect your marriage. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? No answer. And why eatest thou not? No answer. And why is thy heart grieved? No answer. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? No answer. It's just, silence. Verse 9, Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, and she never did answer. And, at first he's concerned. He wants to know what the trouble is. Why are you weeping? And why are you not eating? And then he wants to know what it is that's causing the problem. Why is thy heart grieved? And then he tries to console her by saying, oh, okay, I figured it out. It's because you don't have a baby. Am I not better than 10 sons? And nothing he says can console her. Now, she couldn't even answer her husband's questions, and there was nothing that he could say that would comfort her. And what happens oftentimes in a situation like this where you're already stretched and strained because of the circumstance in your life, and your spirit is affected, and your emotions are affected, and your appetite is affected, your marriage is going to be affected. Her dear husband wanted to try to do something to comfort his wife. That's the natural tendency of a husband for his wife when she's grieving, when she is saddened, but she's been so provoked that there's nothing she can say, and there's nothing he can do. You know, you can just see how, if the devil's not particularly involved in this because you never see his name mentioned, you just see the provoking and you recognize that type of adversity that the devil likes to bring you to. But you can just see that the devil would love to wreck this marriage. Listen, if he could wreck this marriage before Hannah conceives, which she does later, and wreck this marriage before she can have that child Samuel, just to think what it would do, would have done to the nation of Israel. Boy, let me tell you something. The devil likes to get in here. And imagine if she'd have just said, listen, you old coot, I'm getting sick and tired of you doing this, and I'm getting sick and tired of that woman you're married to, Penina. I'm out of here. Could have happened. But it didn't, fortunately. However, just understand being provoked by the adversary will affect your marriage. I tell you, these difficulties come where there's depression and sadness and spiritual trouble. You know, evil present with you when you're trying to do something. I'll tell you, it will mess with your marriage. And it's so easy for people to get into an argument and to get stressed and strained as a consequence of these other problems going on. Notice something else. Being provoked by the adversary will not only affect your spirit, emotions, appetite, and marriage. It'll also affect your soul. 1 Samuel chapter 1, look at verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, Watch it. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Bitterness of soul. You know, bitterness is a terrible thing. We know it's a root. It springs up. And it defiles many. And the first person that gets defiled is you. And since it affects her soul, that means it's affecting her relationship with the Lord. Let me tell you, it is very easy. Since the Bible says that the Lord had shut up her womb, it would be very easy for Hannah to take all this out on the Lord and say, now look, you've given Peninnah children and you have not given me children, and now I'm mad at you. And then carry that bitterness into something that would last the rest of her life. Don't you know that the devil would love to provoke you to bitterness? I mean, bitterness is a deadly thing. That's why Paul said, in order to keep from grieving the Spirit of God, you need to let all bitterness be put away from you. Boy, I'll tell you what, she was on the brink. This is a desperate situation to be in bitterness of soul like that. Desperate situation. I know many people who have been mad at God. And I'm talking about Christian people. Because what happens is they get into a situation like this and then somebody provokes them. I know I've had good friends of mine who really believe that their preacher should have been there for them at a particular time when they were going through spiritual adversity. And instead, the preacher turned against them. And the preacher was not there for them. And began to provoke them even. I've seen it happen. And I'm going to tell you what, man, it takes the soul of a person like that who's trying to serve the Lord right down in bitterness. And sometimes they never come back from it. Some men have quit the ministry as a result. They just don't ever get over it. They carry it with them wherever they go. You say, well, how in the world could that happen? You've got an adversary. He is a spiritual being. He is opposed to you. He's opposed to your Lord. And if he can use somebody, even a preacher, to provoke you, he'll do it. And truly, listen, you might say, well, that preacher shouldn't have done that, or that person shouldn't have done that, or that spouse shouldn't have done that, or that employer shouldn't have done that, or that man shouldn't have done that, or that woman shouldn't have done that. You're absolutely right. But sometimes when you're being used by the devil in a situation like this, you don't even know that you're being used. You know, I doubt seriously that Peter realized when he was rebuking the Lord for saying that he was going to go to the cross and die. I doubt seriously that Peter knew he was a mouthpiece for the devil, but the Lord did, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, a lot of times people are saying things they don't even realize they're speaking as a mouthpiece for the devil. But it's happened, and boy, I mean, people get bitter with a thing like that. And you've got to be careful. Listen, it didn't only affect her testimony, her soul, but it also affected her testimony. Look here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 again. That Hannah prays in verse 10 and 11. And then Eli is watching her because nothing's coming out of her mouth, but her lips are moving. So you know what? He thinks she's drunk. Hannah, she spake in verse 13, in her heart only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Listen, Eli thought she was drunk. And when you get into a situation where you're as bitter as Hannah was at this point, and is affected spiritually and emotionally and physically and maritally, as Hannah was in this case, listen, people aren't going to be able to understand the depth of your sadness. They're going to think something else is wrong with you. Really, they're going to say, you need to go to the doctor and check this out. They're not going to even realize, because it's so bad, you see. And that all comes from being provoked by the adversary. This very person that you depend upon may be the very person that's being used to agitate the problem, okay? And behind it all, the devil. Now, instead of caving in, Hannah fought back, and that's what we need to do. First of all, she prayed. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1 at verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 1, look at verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul, watch it, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She took the matter to the Lord because he was the only one who could fix it. Now that is the right response. And you need to remember, when you're being provoked, maybe the devil is using somebody that's close to you to upset you, then you know what? You don't need to fight back against your adversary. You need to get to the Lord. Listen, Hannah's spirit, her emotions, her appetite, her marriage, her soul, and her testimony were all messed up by this. You know what? She didn't go to a doctor to find out what to do about her appetite. She didn't go to a shrink to find out what to do about her emotions and her spirit. She didn't go to a counselor to try to figure out what to do with her marital problems. She didn't go to a preacher to try to figure out what was wrong with her soul and try to clear up her testimony by defending herself. She just got to God. She just went to the Lord in prayer. She took the matter to the Lord. Why? He was the only one who could fix it. The Bible says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. And let me tell you something. Don't you know that her prayers were fervent, and don't you know that they were effectual? She was talking to God. Now, who knows what all she said? I can tell you there are times when I've been so provoked, I've gone to the Lord and fussed. We know that there must have been some of that involved, because she says, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit in verse 15. And then she says in verse 16, out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She was complaining. Now, you know the Lord doesn't want us to complain, but I'll tell you honestly, sometimes it gets to be more than we can handle. And you take it to the Lord. And you share your grief with Him, and you complain to Him. I hate to admit it, I've been mad and even spoken it out against the Lord. Now, I'm not, you know what, I say I don't recommend that, but the truth of the matter is, if you're that upset, who else are you going to tell? He understands. He already knows your spirit, and He already knows your heart. You take that thing up there to the Lord, and you cry out to God. That's what Hannah did. She prayed. But that's not all. When she prayed, notice that she also vowed. Look in verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, as it turns out, her vow to give her son to the Lord is exactly what the Lord wanted. He needed a priest to replace Eli and his sons. And let me tell you something, as bad and as wicked as they were, there wasn't anybody that was going to sign up for that. No man in his right mind would have gone to Eli, a big old fat man, lived to be 98 years old, who was living in such a way that he was contrary to the offerings of the Lord, and his sons sleeping with the ladies at the door of the tabernacle and stealing the sacrifices. What a despicable thing they'd done to the priesthood. Nobody was going to sign up for that, not in his right mind. But you know what Hannah did? She said, Lord, if you'll give me a man-child, I'll give him to the Lord. You know what? That's exactly what the Lord wanted. He needed a priest to step in after Eli in Hophni and Phinehas. Listen, sometimes you're going to find that when your prayers become fervent and effectual, they're going to line up with the will of God, and when they do, something good is going to happen. In this case, the affliction brought upon Hannah brought her to a place of desperation where it brought her in line with the will of God. And you know what? You may be in a situation right now where the very things that are standing against you and the very difficulties you're having in your spiritual life and the provoking is not trying to shatter you and destroy you from your relationship with the Lord God, but actually they are trying to corral you into a place of desperation where when you cry out to God, you will surrender your will to His, and you will find that in His will, you are living the best that you've ever lived in your life. But God has to bring adversity to bring you to His place. Listen, He wanted the Jews to leave Jerusalem and spread the gospel in other places. You know what He did? He sent persecution and ran them out of there, and it turned out to be a good thing. So instead of caving in, Hannah fought back. She prayed, she vowed, and then notice something else. She believed. She believed. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I mean, that's really something. Because she hasn't even been with her husband. And she, you know what? And she hasn't conceived. Nothing like that has happened yet. She just takes the words of Eli when he says, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. She says, you know what? God's going to answer my prayer. So she says, that's good. She starts eating, and her countenance was no more sad. Listen, she was comforted by the peace of God and by the answer of Eli. And after that, her appetite returned, and as the Bible says, she was no more sad. You know, listen, your adversary may provoke you, but when God gets on your side, your adversary can't win. Not at all, because God's in charge. And listen, when she found comfort in the words of God, she was able to revive her spirit. Her emotions changed immediately. She was no longer weeping and of a sad countenance. She was happy. She was rejoicing. Her appetite returned. She went to be with her husband. You know that improved her marriage, because in order to conceive, they had to actually be together. It helped her testimony, because now Hannah is a rejoicing woman who's going to have a child, and of course her soul was no longer in bitterness. How did that happen? Eli gave her a word of assurance that God would hear. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding kept her heart and her mind, just like we're promised in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 when we pray. And by believing in the Lord, it didn't make any difference that her adversary might want to provoke her. It was the end of the problem. Because once she has a baby, there's no way she can be provoked about not having children anymore. You see how it solves the problem? Now you're going to find that when you attempt to draw close to the Lord, like Hannah was coming up to the house of the Lord, you're going to encounter an adversary. And when you do, all of these things that happened to Hannah can happen to you. Your spirit, your emotions, your appetite, your marriage, your soul, and your testimony can all be affected by the adversary. But rather than cave in from being provoked, why don't you do what Hannah did? Pray, if need be, vow and line up, of course, with the will of God in your life by surrendering, and then believe God in the answers to your prayer. And you know what he'll do? He'll solve the problem. Just like that. That's the way to handle being provoked by the adversary. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.